Of the mountain, we dwarves spend our time forging powerful weapons, mining precious gems and metals, and feasting like kings. But after a day of digging for the next Arkenstone, this dwarf likes to come home to a package full of loot. Dungeon Crate is a monthly subscription box service forged specifically for RPG and tabletop gamers. Miniatures, dice, tokens, coins, maps, modules, terrain pieces, handcrafted items, RPG jewelry, and more are yours. For only a few gold per month. You even get a digital crate along with a physical one as an added bonus. So are you brave enough to reward yourself with a dungeon crate? By Morden's beard, I hope so. DungeonCrate.com. Let the adventure begin.
The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to InnerCircleComics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Folks, I want to apologize for last week, but as it turns out, some of us are stupid. Those of us that I'm speaking of are me. What can you do? We forget things, but here we are, making up for it with another answer of the week. Joe Patrick's not with me, but he is here in spirit. Joe Patrick, say hello to the kids.
I mean, I am with you. It's just through the magic of the internet.
That's true. He's digitally with me.
There is no sorcery at play.
Yeah, no tongues touching this time, but what can you do? Here's how this works. Every week, Joe Patrick posts the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can go there and you can answer them. You can write as much as you want, or you can call us at 402-819-4894 and share your answer with us. You got to keep it under 2 minutes. But that's not all. You can email us at twoheadednerd@gmail.com and use a very sexy MP3 recording with effects and echoes and fart noises and music, whatever you want to do.
Just like you're a morning DJ.
Exactly. But again, it's got to be under 2 minutes. And before we can get into this, I need Joe Patrick to reset the question from 2 damn weeks ago. This is ancient history.
2 weeks ago. It was more than 2 weeks ago because
it was 3 weeks ago.
These calls started coming in on January 19th.
Yeah,
it is February 3rd.
Technically, it would be 3 weeks ago.
It's not this week's question or even the current question. It is the question that we are discussing.
It's the question you've already answered.
I believe it had something to do with explaining events to people that don't read comics.
Well, just explain.
Not events necessarily, like
stories, well, like whatever.
Having to explain comic book storylines to people that don't read comics and how difficult it can be.
Civilian.
And this question, if I recall correctly, was submitted by Lord Stephen Fino.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it. Black Scorpion the Three, he's the very first one to call us. He apologizes for how quiet this one was, but I think he was getting paid to do it because he did it at work.
Yeah.
When I read this question, I immediately wondered how Danny made sense at 52 and how anyone could explain it. So, I mean, Danny, I think you were about 2 when it came out. I'm realizing that you were about 2 when this, probably the thing that spelled the end of my relationship with DC, was released. People that I trusted over the years and people whose work I loved, Johns, Wade, and at that time even Morrison, with Giffen doing art, they were all on board. And there was a lot going on in the series itself. Booster Gold and the Mysterious Supernova, The Question and Montoya training at Manda Parbat, Black Adam leading a coalition against the US, Lex Luthor doing superpower stuff. There's so much going on that it's actually hard to describe when you unite 52 into a cohesive story in the first place. But what's harder still is the ending. It's the worst ending of an event. Oh, by the way, Wanted is the worst ending of a comic. But 52 is the worst ending of an event for anyone having to describe what happened. The big takeaway for DC Comics in 52 is that we're supposed to be surprised that the multiverse still exists. In order for that to be meaningful, you have to explain what happened in Infinite Crisis. To explain why the fracturing of universes in Infinite Crisis happened, you have to explain who is smashing it into bits, and to do that, you have to explain Crisis on Infinite Earths. So what's worse than that awful, awful task to me is explaining how Mr. Mind is a giant Time Lord that was coordinating everything in 52 and eating time. I just can't do it. I mean, how do I explain who Mr. Mind is to someone like Danny? And explain how that smart worm with a radio in Captain Marvel is also a mega boss that eats time. It's just not good. So that's my pick. Till next time, nerds.
I liked 52.
I like 52 as well, but he's not wrong.
That's, I mean, I guess
it's a tough one.
Coming at it from as a lifelong DC fan, I got to the end. I had no problem understanding the progression of events leading up to 52. But he's totally right. Like explaining 52 requires you to explain 30 years worth of DC history.
Yeah. And as much as I liked it as well, 52 was definitely, how can I put this? Was definitely a symptom of the time where it's like DC was still very much preaching to the choir. And it's just like, hey, you guys have all been here since 1982, right? And we're all paying attention, you know? I enjoyed some of it. It did not end well. He's absolutely right.
I won't say that it didn't end well because I did enjoy the book, but I will admit and agree that the idea of Mr. Mind turning into a cosmic time stream eating butterfly monster is pretty stupid.
It was out there. It was out there. I'll certainly say that. Well, let's go to the Google Voice. See who's next. I think this is Danny. I think it's our buddy Danny. Danny, thank you so much. It's always good to hear from you. There was a problem with your call, man. And we couldn't, it was all, it just didn't work. I'm sorry, buddy. Right now.
We're glad you're okay, though.
We're glad you're back.
We're glad you're okay.
We were worried about your person. So it's good to hear that you're alive. Let's go to Brooklyn. Specifically, one Anthony, currently residing there.
Sup, nerds. Anthony, currently from Brooklyn here. And I've never had to explain a particular wacky comic story to a civilian. I have had to explain or defend a comic book trope. I did not do this successfully. The civilian was my wife. The conversation began when she asked me, why is she dressed like that? And for brevity's sake, I'll just give you my end of the conversation. Well, I mean, that's her costume. I don't know. She fights crime and needs freedom of movement. She's wearing high heels because she wants nice shoes. I don't know. She flies, so it's not like she needs to chase anybody. Okay, I don't. Right. No, I don't know why her boobs are hanging out like that. No, you're right. I'm sure they don't help her fight crime, but, you know, they could distract an opponent. I don't. But no, 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 that's not why I read comics. No, no, I read comics because I like comics, because I love serialized fiction, because I love science fiction and fantasy and world building. And think about it like this. Think about it like this. A comic book is like the greatest movie you can possibly imagine, with an unlimited budget where the screenwriters, the directors, and the actors are all kick ass. Okay. Yes, I mean, all the women are dressed similarly. Okay, yeah, I'll hide them from our daughter. That was pretty much it. So, I'm not really a great ambassador for comics, I guess. Sorry, guys. Thanks.
Anthony, that is not true. You are a great ambassador for comics, and what you are highlighting is a problem. It really is, and it's. I'm not going to go into the sexuality of comics and stuff like that. But I will say, for a long time, comics were for dudes and they were drawn and written by dudes.
They certainly knew who they were marketing towards. Yes.
And because of that, we got some pretty ridiculous costumes. Now, I'm trying to figure out who he's talking about. She flies and she has high heels.
Wonder Woman.
Is it Wonder Woman?
She flies. She wears high heels. She's okay. Got her boobs hanging out. All yeah, right. Probably Wonder Woman.
She's wearing a bustier. I'll give you that. Oh, it also could be Power Girl.
Well, Power Girl doesn't wear high heels. But yeah,
you're right. Power Girl wore boots. But it's not your fault, is what I'm saying. There was a long period of time where this was definitely a fraternity. We're no longer in that time. Now everybody's welcome, and we want everybody in, and comics are better because of it.
We're trying very hard to break old habits.
We're trying to include everybody. So don't feel bad, buddy. I understand. And I've had very similar discussions with my wife. You should hear some of the discussions Wooly Toots has had with his wife about it.
Next time, have the conversation with your wife and say, look at Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Or Captain Marvel. She's covered head to toe.
Absolutely. And well, now. Not too long ago. That's what I'm
talking. Like, yeah, Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. She's covered head to toe.
Now she is. But not too long ago, she was wearing, butt costume.
It was long enough ago. Things have changed. I'm saying it's been 5 years at least.
It wasn't that long ago. Five years. Really, dude.
I don't think it's been 5 years since Captain Marvel became Captain Marvel.
No, I don't think it since she got the new haircut and the, you know, the costume. She was wearing the black with the Flash probably within the last 5 years.
Yeah. That Brian Reed.
Yeah.
Series.
And you know what? I'm just going to say it. I like that costume, you know? And it's not just because her butt was hanging out. Like, it's just an iconic costume and I liked it.
Well, and it's not always drawn as though her butt was hanging out just right. Because it's like a one piece. Not every artist draws it in an exploitative way.
That's fair. That's fair. Let's go to Randy Andrews. Let's see what he's got for us.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews, Avengers, emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked.
Yeah, definitely.
Us to tell you about a ridiculous explanation of comics to someone. Well, guys, more than once, I've had discussions with my sweet Haley about comics. Most recently, I tried to explain the Avengers versus X-Men storyline. Haley usually has a firm grasp on the Avengers and X-Men. I tried to tell her about the moral implications of what the Phoenix Force did, how it got transferred to five of the X-Men, how the Avengers had to hide and plan their attack against the main force inhabiting Scott Summers, and finally, the death of Charles Xavier. That got quite a blank look. Well, that's my answer this week, guys. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is a combination of the Avengers theme and the X-Men theme.
Oh!
See you in a week. Bye for now.
Listen to this guy mixing his media.
Who's sound editing now?
Whoa! Showing us how it's done. And good news, Joe Patrick, Randy Andrews lives. We were worried about him.
Yep, we were. And I'm happy to hear from him. I miss that dude.
That is a tough one to explain. Why the whole Scott with Super Phoenix powers murders Professor X. I don't know that there is a great explanation for it. We all watched it happen. I think perhaps the best explanation is because plot, you know? I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. Avengers versus X-Men is pretty stupid.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't great. It started off kind of fun and it just went to a really weird place and
didn't end well.
Like so many Marvel events, it just didn't end great.
Oh, yeah. And like, I get it, man. Yeah, it's the X-Men. But some of them are possessed by the Phoenix Force. Oh, the Phoenix Force. It's the sum totality of every psionic mind in the entire universe.
Yeah, which
obviously
explains why it would be in Cyclops and Colossus, right? Because they're
And Emma Frost.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And
sure.
Wasn't Namor one of them too?
Yes, Namor had it too.
He flooded Wakanda.
Oh yeah.
It was bad biscuits, bro.
Took a huge crap on Wakanda, but you know, he's hated that place for a long time.
Yeah, Avengers vs. X-Men, I get it. That's a tough explanation.
It's a tough one to sell. Hey, check it out. It's Danny. He's alive. Take it away, Danny. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Hey, guys. It's Danny. Disregard my first call. I completely had the question on. Anyway, so I'm a sucker for this book, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think the hardest book to explain would be I Kill Giants.
Okay.
Because you can't give away the major reveal of her mom and everything. Also, people don't understand what people turn to during cancer. Some people think, oh, just pray, and that helps, but sometimes there are things that really are hardwired into your brain. It was comics, and for Barbara, it was Dungeons & Dragons. Another thing is the title. How do you explain a book about a girl who doesn't kill giants to a book called I Kill Giants? Well, they don't understand the metaphorical kind of thing, because if they did, you'd have to reveal the whole cancer thing. So that's my answer, guys. See you later. Bye.
God damn, Danny. That kid is wise beyond his years. I'll tell you what.
I'm so glad he's back.
I know. And he's
Did
right.
you know he joined the forums?
Oh, Danny did?
He's on the forums.
Nice.
He's on Twitter. He's stalking us on Twitter now.
That dude is all over the internet. I love it. That's great. Good to hear from you, buddy. And he's right. It's a tough one. Without giving away what the book is about, like you almost have to give a spoiler-filled review.
Danny, welcome back, man. Good job with that answer. I totally agree. Tough to explain without giving it all away. And it's the sort of thing that you really want the person to experience for themselves.
Next up, let's get down to some financial business. Let's check in with the THN Master of Coin, Mr. Stephen Fino. Stephen, where do we stand?
Hello again. This is Lord Stephen, Master of Coin, sending in my answer to the question of the week. So in my circle of friends, I am the lone comic book nerd in what is otherwise a den of video game nerds. That being said, a lot of my friends have a casual interest in comics, either being occasional readers themselves or just enjoying hearing me talk about comics and the goings-on therein. And these can be about anything from my hatred of certain writers and plot devices to bizarre continuity stories. My go-to in that regard being the story behind the existence of Wiccan and Speed from the Young Avengers, and the age-old question, if they were to have sex, would it be incest? But the most bizarre explanation I've ever had to give was attempting to explain the plot of Zero after recommending it as a good spy story. And just to see from that, I did enjoy Zero throughout its entire run, regardless of how bizarre it gets. But I don't think I have ever had a more difficult time trying to explain a comic, or really anything. By the end, random characters were literally mushrooms. Somehow, noted beat writer and failed William Tell impersonator William S. Burroughs was involved. By the end, we were all a little bit more confused than we were when we started, and the discussion probably would have made a lot more sense if anyone in my circle of friends was a druggie. So, that's my answer this week. See ya.
Steven, this does not sound like your fault. It sounds like you need to hang out with more drug addicts. That sounds like a problem.
I can't really speak to Zero as I did not manage to stay caught up with it, but I do love that answer. I could tell from what I read the first several months worth of it, I could really tell like it was heading in a direction.
Zero got super weird.
And I did not realize how bizarre it was really going to get.
Yeah, it got really weird and I stayed with it and I loved it, but I totally understand. Like there's no way I could explain it to Casey. I mean, for example,
sure. And it would side help. Note in it, his email to us, Steven said, here's a phrase I bet you thought you never would hear. Being a THN love slave might look good on my resume. I'm currently looking for work as an editor slash copywriter, yet I have no experience beyond a college degree. So if you're looking for a copywriter, I might be your guy.
Okay, then. All right. Guess what?
Hired. There's no pay.
Hired. We've already got him in a cage. It's perfect. We'll just go down there and be like, why didn't you bring this up before? What the hell? Extra punishment, you know? But yeah, hired. There we go.
Excellent.
Hey, it's Jesse Kiefer. We love this guy. He said he's sorry. He hasn't hit us for a while. Take it away, Jess.
He's got a beautiful ponytail.
Nice.
Hey, Joe and Matt Headed Nerd, it's Jesse from GrawlixPodcast.com sending Matt in my answer nerd of the week. It's been a tick since I called in, but this is a question that's too ripe to pass up. Awkward comic book conversations with non-readers. All the characters that we had wished would get movies are now finally getting their own movies, which is great. Until someone watches the movie and then wants to talk about the comics as if they had actually read them. So it's best to just enjoy the movies for what they are and don't worry if they match the books or not. But if that happened, then I wouldn't even have an answer. So probably the best rabbit hole that I've fallen down that has to do with these movies and how they're titled centered around the last Avengers movie. And I imagine I won't be the only one to have this answer. But my friend thought the best way to get pumped for the movie was to go ahead and read some comics. And logically, she chose Age of Ultron. Except if you read it, you know that Ultron is in it. And that is where the similarities end. Yeah. I can't remember the specifics of the conversation, but it was something to the effect of,
that's not a good idea because the Avengers movie will be the origin of Ultron. You don't want to read those books because those books take place in the future where Ultron has already won and Wolverine is traveling back and forth in time to try and fix it by changing the past.
Oh, you mean like Days of Future Past?
Well, that movie wasn't like the books either.
So, Age of Ultron is about time travel.
No, the Age of Ultron books are. The Avengers movie won't be.
At this point, I'm just getting the bewildered stare that we likely all know.
Trust me, I can list you some better options. So just skip those and enjoy the movie.
So So that's my answer, gents. Age of Ultron with a side of Days of Future Past. Till next time, domo arigato and sayonara.
Sneaks in two answers, but I get it. And it's logical.
What do you mean he snuck in two answers?
I mean, he said, you know, Age of Ultron with a side of Days of Future Past.
Well, but not really. Like,
No.
That is an excellent answer, for one thing. Yeah, Age of Ultron, the movie, has nothing to do with Age of Ultron, the comic.
Literally.
Except
nothing.
For the fact that it's got Ultron in it, sort of. And some of the Avengers. I loved him editing in the sound of being on the telephone. That was well done.
That was cool.
And thank you for using sticks for your music. I was lip syncing the hell out of that while it was playing.
Joe Patrick, while we're at it, can you name one other Styx song?
Come Sail Away.
All right. Okay. There you go. All right. Yes. That'll count. I would have accepted the Grand Illusion too, but you know, whatever. That's great. Jesse, good to hear from you, man. We missed you. Right now we go to the frozen wastes of North Dakota. I believe they are currently buried under like 75 inches of snow. Take it away, Amy.
Hey, nerds. Amy calling in from the great white north of Dakota to tell you the tale of the time the 60-year-old lady in the mailroom at my office asked me what happens in Civil War.
Ugh.
Warning, there's some spoilers in my tale, but if there wasn't, it wouldn't have gotten weird. So it started out normal enough. She'd seen all the Marvel flicks with her grandkids, so when that first trailer came out for the new movie, she asked me what I thought it would be about. Here's how the conversation went down. I don't know what they'll do in the movie, I say, but in the comics, the heroes are split over registration. Captain America leads the side that thinks heroes shouldn't have to register, and Iron Man leads a side that disagrees, hence Civil War. So who wins? She inquires. Well, I say.
The fans.
Cap ends the fighting when he sees the consequences of the war, and then he gets assassinated on the courtroom steps. They're going to try him as a war criminal, but he dies instead. So technically, Iron Man wins. She looks appalled. They kill Captain America? Yepers, I say. So she could have left it at that, waited for the movie, and left me with my dignity. But no, she had just one more question. So there's no Captain America in comics anymore? I wait a few beats, thinking how best to proceed. Well, I swallow hard.
It's a sticky wicket.
No. There is. They brought him back. I mean, it turned out that he wasn't really dead because the gun that shot him was made by Dr. Doom, and he was really just stuck in time and space and jumping around all quantum leap style, except they were all his own memories. But then Ant-Man figures out how to fix the machine that can bring his consciousness back to present day. So they do, but then there's this whole thing where he's being controlled by the Red Skull, and you know what? It doesn't matter. She stares at me like I've just told her I eat my own toenails for breakfast. Well, she says, backing away slowly with her mail cart. I like that Chris Evans. I hope they don't kill him. I doubt we'll be rapping about comics anytime soon. Muggles, right? Later, nerds.
Muggles!
Evans is a good-looking dude, but I got bad news. I'm predicting he dies. I'm predicting they kill him in this next movie.
I don't think so. I think he's got more movies in his contract.
He does, but that doesn't mean they don't kill him in this one.
Yeah, it does, because it's called Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2.
Yeah, but though, of course, they'll pluck him out of time for that. You watch.
They are not going to do Captain America Reborn in time for Avengers. That's cuckoo.
You don't know that. What if I told you that Thanos was going to be the bad guy that's going to show up for the next Avengers before you saw the last one? You would have been like, that's insane. And one of his gems, a time gem. You watch.
Okay, nerd bet. Captain America dies in Captain America : Civil War. Yes or no? Matt says yes. Joe says that's stupid.
Nerd bet accepted.
All right.
I'm putting it on the board. There we go. Let's go to James Kettner, the Kett nerd himself. Well, before we do,
real quick,
Amy, thank you for your call. Always good to hear from you.
Spectacular answer. Spectacular. Yeah,
that is a tough. That is a wicked googly, as they say.
Wicked googly.
Kettnerd, take it away.
Hey guys, Kettnerd here. This was tough, but I finally decided on Ode to Kirihito by the Jack Kirby of manga Osamu Tezuka. Ode to Kirihito starts off as a medical drama centered on the investigation of a virus that mutates its victims. Kirihito Osani believes in an alternative theory for the disease, and when he travels to investigate an outbreak in a remote village, he's set up by his rivals to contract the disease, which transforms him into a dog man. But what starts out as a pretty familiar man in the body of a monster kind of story quickly goes super wackadoo. Now, there should be multiple trigger warnings on this book because it deals with a lot of sexual assault.
What?
First, Kirihito falls for a village girl who is raped and murdered. After he kills the rapist, the seemingly conventional love triangle that is set up between him, his fiancée back home, and best friend gets super rapey as his friend, Dr. Urabe, has a full psychotic breakdown, which is detailed over the course of the series. Kirihito is then captured and further dehumanized when he is enslaved by a Taiwanese freak show, where he's caged up with a dog in heat and forced to perform sexual acts for the pleasure of various gangsters.
What?
There he befriends Reika, an exotic dancer whose finishing act involves her contorting into a knot, being wrapped up in a pastry, and then being flash fried into a giant dumpling that she pops out of. When terrorists bomb the freak show, they escape, and Reika constantly tries to seduce Kirihito, even giving him non-consensual dogman head in his sleep.
Good!
She's eventually killed when she takes her act to Syria and is accidentally cooked alive. Guys, I'm running out of time, and I haven't even told you about the dog nun. There's a dog nun.
What?
And do you remember 2 minutes ago when this was a medical drama? Neither do I. This series is packed with variations on the theme of man versus beast, and there's so much to unpack in terms of the metaphors, the sexual content, and all the subtext about sexuality and race and post-war Japan. I didn't even talk about the dog nun. There's a dog nun. Anyway, guys, that's Ode to Kirihito.
Tell me he was making that up as he went. Please.
I don't think so, man. That seemed pretty detailed.
Holy hell.
Hold on. Yeah, it's real, man.
Oh, my God.
Well, Tezuka. Oh, man.
I know what I'm reading tonight. It's like a car accident. You can't take your eyes off. Like, oh, where's the dead guy? Oh, there's a dead guy. Oh, I can't look away.
Yeah. Here, it's all right here on the Wikipedia page. Rape, dog face.
This is the same man that did the illustrated Buddha, right? Tezuka?
Yeah. Didn't Osamu Tezuka also do Astro Boy?
He created Astro Boy. Boy. Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, that's one we might have to check out later. Thanks for your call, Jim.
Hey, he says, sorry for the excess jibba jabba last time. If you might recall, we commented on how he wrote us a very long email. Jim, never apologize.
Yeah.
We always like to hear from you.
No apologies. And I'm sorry we haven't written you back yet. Well, I'll do
that. Yeah, me too.
Because Joe Patrick's not going to do it. So I'll do it. Let's go to D. Murray.
Oh, my gosh, man. You ever read Kingdom Come? Dude, I got to tell you about this story. It takes place in the future, like the distant future. And Superman's like exiled, but he like self-exiled himself. And you got like all the superhero kids and grandkids kind of going crazy, turning into supervillains or anti-heroes and just killing people, destroying crap, don't care about civilians or anything. And the government's getting pissed about this. And Wonder Woman comes to Superman while he's exiled because Captain Atom just blew up in Kansas and everything's like radiated. And Wonder Woman says to Superman, hey, you gotta come back. Going heavy, you gotta fix everything. And this story is just so freaking awesome, man. Like, I know it sounds weird, but I'm telling you, it's cool. And the art, dude. Alice Frost with the art. This story is awesome. And Mark Waid wrote this, man. Why aren't you reading this comic book? I know it sounds weird. Like, I'm telling you, I know. And I can't tell you too much because it'll spoil it for you. But I'm telling you, read Kingdom Come. That was my explanation for, like, one of the weirdest stories I've ever had to tell someone to go out and read. I love Kingdom Come. You had a caller a while back talk about how it's the Ghost of Christmas Future and nothing really happens and he doesn't really play a point. And the story is awesome. I love Kingdom Come. It's the greatest damn story I've ever read. I consider it to be the Bible, at least for a long time I did, and I read it every single year. I love it. Take it easy, guys.
Funny story about Kingdom Come. I was talking to Casey about how it's one of my favorite DC stories for all the reasons that D just had. And this is something that like never occurred to me, right? While I was telling it, and I was just like going through the plot and going through all the little parts of it that I loved, like Green Lantern and space and the armor and stuff. And like, oh man, it was all so cool. And she was like, so hold on a second. Superman quit? And I was like, yeah, he got like upset and he quit. And she was like, Superman, he did that. Like, yeah, Come to think of it, that is kind of weird. Like, Superman wouldn't quit.
It's an Elseworlds, though.
I know, but at the same time, it's
but
like,
then you have to explain what Elseworlds means.
Right, but my wife had to point that out to me. She was like, so Superman, who's like the best guy ever that you and Joe love more than anyone else, he just quit.
His wife got murdered.
And he let this happen.
Like, look, his wife got murdered.
I mean, I get it, but I had never really thought of it like that. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not on the outside. And I was like, yeah, I guess they kind of had to do that for the plot, didn't they?
Dee brought up that past question we had where somebody brought up Kingdom Come as a negative for all those reasons.
I think it was Amy in North Dakota. It was Amy in North Dakota, I believe.
Oh, you're right. It was.
Yeah.
I'm with D, man. I love Kingdom Come. I love it.
I adore
and
it.
And yes, it's flawed. And yes, the whole thing with the Spectre and Alex Ross's dad in there for no reason.
Yeah, that was weird.
There's no actual reason for that guy to be there.
No, not really.
Of course, it's beautiful. And yeah, explaining anything involving DC history.
Yeah.
Is going to be a tremendous headache.
Oh my God. That Wikipedia page is like so heavily edited. It's crazy.
Kudos to D. Murray for calling in character. Like he's actually explaining it to somebody.
Yeah, that was really good. I was like, I don't know if he got the question right. And then I went, oh, I see what he's doing.
I don't know if you can still do this, but he requested in his email if you could insert some Duel of the Fates in the background.
Yes, I absolutely will. I'll drop that in behind him.
And then he apologizes for watching Futurama while he recorded.
I could definitely hear him watching something.
Thank you, D. Your calls are always appreciated.
Turn the TV off when you do so, though.
That's whatever, buddy. We'll take you however we can get you.
Let's go from, we were in North Dakota. Let's check out how snowy it was there. Let's go up to Maine. I bet it's awful there. They got pummeled not too long ago. The Orca himself.
So there's a lot of answers that come to mind that we've all fumbled around with, trying in vain to make them sound cool or at least sensible. Why can't Captain America just call Superman? What's a multiverse? Oh, yeah. Does this guy, the Thing, have a stone dick? But the most ridiculous story that I've had to explain is my own. Why do I have a quote-unquote previous commitment every Wednesday from now until the end of time? And I'm not alone. Lord knows we've all wormed our way out of something for our weekly trek to the comic shop. I feel like a junkie, or at least a meth clinic goer, every time. And no one understands it. No regular person, anyway. What do you mean new comics come out every Wednesday? Why can't you just pick them up on Thursday? What's a second print? You keep track of how many different stories? How can Deadpool and Wolverine each be in six different stories at the same time? And the big one, what's the big deal if you miss a week?
Oh,
they just don't get it. And the more I explain, the stranger the looks I get. So forget explaining Flashpoint or who Gwenpool is or why so many characters are turned into chicks. The toughest thing to explain is why any hunting or fishing trips have to start on Thursdays and end by Tuesday. Or why a home care sponge bath can never be on Wednesdays between 10 and 2, no matter how ripe I get. And yes, I have home care. I know if I'm able-bodied enough to go moose hunting, why do I need help bathing? Well, the truth is, the state pays for it, and my nurse looks like an Adam Hughes cover. But even she can't come on Wednesdays. Kiss, kiss, boys.
The 92-year-old ice fishing moose hunting nerd. I love that. I hadn't even thought of it like that.
Very meta, the Orca. I appreciate that call.
Extremely so. I really like it. Thank you so much for your call, sir. You can hear the Orca on the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast every month where he tells you what comics you should be selling to get top dollar. He's kind of a weirdo, but the guy's got his head on when it comes to finances. Trust me on this one. Pay attention to him. Bit of a pervert, but we really like him.
It's endearing.
Let's go back to the Google voicemail.
No. Hey, Joe and Matt. What's up? This is Marcus calling in.
Oh, Marcus.
For this week's question. My answer for this question is Batman Earth 1. Now, might be kind of a weird example, but hear me out. People nowadays there's just the huge obsession over Batman, and Batman can do anything because he's Batman and he's infallible and he's all these things. And the way that I like to describe this story is, it's Batman if he kind of sucked at being Batman. Like, he was just bad at being a hero. So that kind of loses people a lot. Also, real quick, I guess because my my podcast is coming off of hiatus this week, you guys can go check out theculturemypeople.com. There's three podcasts on that website that you guys can follow. They're all pretty good. Mine is specifically about comic book TV shows. So if you want to hear two guys who aren't as old and jaded and angry about all of the TV shows and are willing to cut Arrow a lot more slack than it really should be, then you can come check us out. Thanks for letting us call in. Call in next week, hopefully. See ya.
Good to hear from you, Marcus. I love it when you guys plug your own stuff, and everybody should. I totally agree. Okay, here's the thing. Batman Earth 1, we look right past the fact that, like, oh, this is a different place where Batman is younger.
We inherently understand the idea that there are multiple versions of every character.
Right. And it's just something like being a comic book reader. Sure. That makes perfect sense. Someone who's never read comics. Like, imagine if you told somebody that was a Tom Brady fan. That, like, oh man, there's all these other versions of Tom Brady out there where he's not going to the Super Bowl. He just decided to be a stay-at-home dad and let Giselle make all the money. And one where he's actually a terrorist, and one where he's a bank robber, you know?
There are three words that any comic publisher can say to a regular comic reader that will cover over almost all confusion. And those three words are out of continuity. Yeah. And for guys like me and Matt and Marcus, it's like, yep, out of continuity. It's no totally problem. Acceptable. Let's go.
Makes sense. Oh, this is not in continuity.
But try to explain that to Marcus's friend or Amy's coworker.
Right. What do you mean out of continuity?
What's continuity?
Like, what does that mean? Oh, it's on a different Earth. What the f*** do you mean a different Earth?
Sometimes it's not even that. Like, they don't even bother to, like, they don't even bother to say, yes, this is one of the many worlds in the DC multiverse. They just, like, nope, this is just a comic book we wanted to do about Mr. Mix's Piddalick meeting Batmite.
Right.
And running amok. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't fit in anywhere. It's just for fun.
Right. It was just fun. You know, when the Muppets met Superman, it was just a good time.
But right. Superman meets Bugs Bunny. Right. That was a whole miniseries.
It was.
That's a good answer.
Thank you for your call, buddy. Always good to hear from you, Marcus. We'll check out your podcast. I didn't even know you had a show, man. Pimp that stuff. You call us, pimp your stuff. We love it. Free air for you guys right now. Let's go to Kevin Coffey. He works at the Omaha World Herald. I'm going to pimp it for him.
He What's just up, put nerds? Out an article today about our sponsors, Dungeon Crate.
Hey, cool. I'm excited for Dungeon Crate. We're going to start getting free stuff real soon here. I'm going to hog it all.
Whatever.
What's up, nerds? It's Kevin Coffey sending in my answer of the week. My favorite comic book of all time is also the most impossible comic book to explain to anybody without them looking at you like you're either a degenerate or completely insane. And it's Preacher. I've tried to explain it to my wife, and it's like, well, there's this guy, and he's a preacher, and he's got this power because a demon and angel f***ed. And they didn't, you know, but then there's his girlfriend, but she's like, but isn't he a preacher? And you're like, yeah, sort of. And then he's got his crazy family. Then there's their buddy who's a vampire, and she's like looking at me even crazier. You know, and then it only gets, as you know, way more insane from there. Like, you know, there's this thing with a guy, and he likes meat. I don't really want to talk about it. And all of the beheadings and disgusting, crazy violence and stuff. And it's just the most wonderful comic book. It is impossible to explain to somebody. One of my best buddies, he loves comics and now loves Preacher. And I started explaining to it, and I just realized that the best thing to do with that comic was go, here's volume one, read it, tell me what you think. And he, just like I did, read the first volume, went and bought all the trades after that. And yeah, so still, this just becomes an issue because now they've got the TV show coming out for Preacher, and it looks like it's going to be completely different from Preacher, which I kind of hate. But I also understand you can't have dudes giant meat things on television, but, you know, people are like, oh, you like Preacher, right? What's so great about it? I'm like, I don't know. Like, this is so weird. It's such a weird, but amazing, awesome, wonderful comic book. So that's my answer, fellas. Hope you dig it. Later.
It's absolutely true. Preacher is a very, very hard one to explain to someone who doesn't read it. And I tend to do what he does. I'm like, look, it's mean, it's nasty, it's completely awesome, it's very 90s, but it's still totally applicable. Just read this and hand it to him.
Here's where I disagree with Kevin just a little bit. I agree that it is difficult to explain if you are going into detail.
Right.
But if you're just giving somebody the elevator pitch...
Yeah, strip it
for
down.
For Preacher, it's very straightforward.
Yeah. God takes a break because there's this new thing, an angel and a demon had sex.
You don't even really have to explain that. You can just say, you know, disenfranchised preacher gets caught up in a conspiracy and goes on a quest to find God.
Who's walking around on Earth.
Who is walking the earth.
Because he's afraid people stop believing in him because an angel and a demon had
But
sex.
You don't have to explain that to in your pitch.
Because you're going to say, why is God on earth? Why do you
don't have to explain that.
Yes,
it's in the book. It's in the book. All you have to explain is the very basics and say, boom, here's volume one. There's more to it than that. Here's volume one. Check it out. There's vampires. There's sodomists.
I'm elevator exec. Hillbillies. This sounds terrible. You're an idiot. Get out of here. This is disgusting.
I don't know if sodomist is a word.
I think it's sodomizer.
I was talking about, of course, the sexual detectives.
Yeah. Sodometer. Right? I don't know. Something
sodometers.
Like that. Sodomiter.
Anyway, I mean, it is. Preacher is very complex, and breaking it down for anyone is a difficult task.
That's the name of my new black metal band, Sodomizer.
Okay, great.
We got a new caller here.
Who is this guy?
Damon Chan. He apologizes for the poor quality of his audio. Let's see what he's got. Oh.
Oh, calling in for pressure.
This is not going to work.
So, quick shout out to Damon Chan, a first-time caller who sent in an MP3, and we got sort of the gist of it. It was about Batman RIP and how it connected to Final Crisis, where in Batman RIP, Batman doesn't actually die until in Final Crisis, where he does.
Sort of.
unfortunately, we could not pick up hardly any of the audio from your call, Damon. So thank you so much. Please try again. We love first-time callers. We're adding you to the list.
And don't be afraid to just call the Ziggurat phone line on your phone and just rap through it, man. Leave me a message.
Sometimes technology doesn't cooperate.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for trying. We wanted to let you know that we got your call. We just couldn't use it.
Check this out. Jeff Hitt called and left us the Google Voice. This is what you could sound like, Damon. Try this.
Hi, Joe and Matt. It's Jeff Hitt calling with this week's answer to the week question, or an answer to it, rather. And like yourselves, I spent a number of years in retail, specifically at the long lamented Borders Books and Music. And, you know, as the resident nerd at that facility, I spent many time explaining to my coworkers or to customers about different comics. And so I found this question almost impenetrable to ask because I feel like every time I've had to have a conversation about comic books, it has been difficult to have. But I would say probably the most confusing conversations always had to do with why Superman and Batman weren't on the Avengers and why Wolverine was not in the Justice League and Spider-Man wasn't in the Justice League.
He just took my answer. Trying to
explain just the differences between them. You know, the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe is always so difficult and convoluted because, you know, the average average non-comic fan, the average person is just kind of interested in superheroes, the average kid, and you just jumble all that stuff together when you're little. You know, Batman beats up G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes fights against Megatron. I mean, that's just how you think about those things. So those conversations are always the most difficult and convoluted because, you know, who can keep that straight? I can barely do it, so... All right, guys. Thanks for the show. Talk to you soon. Bye.
But he brings up a very good point. People that don't read comics don't know that Spider-Man and Superman live in completely different universes.
I mean, to be completely fair, sometimes Snake Eyes really does fight Megatron.
That's true. But to even further muddy the waters, in the X-Men films, they have nothing to do with the Avengers, who both do live in the same universe.
It's a hot mess.
And
man,
I've tried to explain that to people as well. They're like, so wait a minute. So the X-Men and the Avengers and Spider-Man are all in the same world. I'm like, yes. I'm like, how come they're not in the same movies? I'm like, well,
there's a comic book right there called Avengers versus X-Men. How come the Avengers never show up in the X-Men movies?
Yeah, like exactly. Like, well, you know, that's a thing between Fox
because and of lawyers,
Marvel Studios. But it's tough to explain to people that, like, no, yes, I agree. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Wolverine are all superheroes. They don't all live together. It's different. It's just a different place.
Right. It's like, it's like, I technically, yes, I do live in the same world as Anthony from Brooklyn or Black Scorpion or even Cleon from Australia.
Right.
But I don't see them on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly.
Speaking of Cleon.
G'day, Matt and Joe. It's the Thunder from Down Under sending in me answer. The weirdest comic I've had to explain is actually my favorite comic of all time. It's called One Piece, and it's about a guy called Monkey D. Luffy who wants to be Pirate King in an archipelago world run by superpowered pirates, marines, and criminals. He ate what's called a devil fruit, which gives him the power to be a rubber man. Yep, that's his superpower, to stretch like rubber. The first mate of his pirate crew, who wants to be the world's greatest swordsman, uses three swords, wherein the third sword is held by his bloody jaw. Don't ask me how that works. The doctor of the crew is a talking reindeer with a blue nose, who can turn into a demon reindeer monster if he eats too much candy called Rumble Balls. Their carpenter is a cola-powered cyborg who constantly wears a Speedo, and whose design is loosely based on Popeye, Frankenstein, and Ace Ventura. Oh, also, there's a skeleton with an afro who plays the ever-important position of musician for this pirate crew. I mean, those are just half of the main cast and characters, and some of the antagonists they face are like talking fish people, Sandman if he were a Bond villain, and a thunder god designed after rap artist Eminem. Despite all this insanity, it's an incredibly deep series which touches on the themes of socio-political Darwinism, racial segregation, caste systems, and the concepts of freedom. It also tells the personal stories of broken people who have lived through tragedy, but through the kind and strong will of the main character, are saved and regain their hope to live, go forward in their life, and achieve their dreams. It's over 800 chapters that's still being released weekly by Shonen Jump, and is written, penciled, and mostly inked by one guy, Ichiro Oda, who has made this series into a pop cultural icon of almost religious status in Japan. All right, guys, thank you for hearing my answer. Can't wait to hear the show. Bye-bye.
That's what One Piece is about?
Crazy.
I feel like I just was the subject of our very own question.
Crazy.
Holy hell.
Man.
Okay. Yeah. I think that was just...
The guy stretching like rubber is the least weird thing about it.
I didn't even know that happened in One Piece, let alone anything else. So Mr. Fantastic is a pirate on a ship with a skeleton and a thunder god that talks like Eminem and other things.
Wow. Sign me up.
Yeah. Count me in. Okay. Well, Cleon Soares, the Thunder from Down Under.
Thanks again, buddy.
Man, trying to explain manga to us. And I think really illustrating the power of this question that we put up. Thank you for your call, buddy. Always good to hear from you. But now it's Scott Brown's turn.
Greetings, two-headed nerd. This is Scott from the Galacticus podcast. I apologize for not talking to you guys for a while. It's been busy in the New Year's, holidays, whatnot. I'm sure you understand.
I don't want to hear it, Scott.
For this answer of the week, I'm kind of recycling an answer I brought before, that being Grendel. Whenever I have to describe what my tattoo is and affirm that it's not a Spawn tattoo, I'll say it's Grendel, and they say, like, Beowulf. And I'll say, no, it's like this... 80s comic about a crime lord prodigy who's a great fencer, becomes a mastermind behind kind of a vigilante cop killing guy, and like, okay, so far so good, and like, yeah, he fights a giant wolf man, and people are like, uh-huh, and I'm like, yeah, then his adopted daughter takes up the mantle later on in the quasi-near future, there's flying cars, and then they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, then the her boyfriend becomes him for a while, but then it goes away for a while, then it comes back in this weird church thing in the future, and they're fighting vampires, and then the Grendel force kind of takes over the world by possessing different people, sort of, and it's like a samurai thing, and then like the... It goes on and on like that, and eventually I'm talking about a... a cyborg paladin protecting the heir to the throne from, you know, bad guys, And he goes back in time and fights Batman, but the original Grendel fought Batman too, and I start rambling on and on, like kind of like I am now, and then the people walk away, and they never to ask me about it again, or even talk to me again. So I find that to be one of the more convoluted answers I can come up with, and it tends to happen a lot. So let me know what you guys think. We'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye.
So, in a nutshell, if you want to get laid, don't bring up Grendel. It's a bad idea. It's just a bad idea.
Like, I barely followed that.
Now, I will tell you, as a Grendel fan, he's right on. He pretty much just laid Grendel down for you. It's that weird.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott, for calling. Always good to hear from you.
Joey, we got a first-time, long-time caller here.
What a fitting way to end the show.
If only there was a way we could predict what the accent would be this time.
It's a dice roll.
Hi, THN. I'm a first time, long time. This question was really hard. It was very difficult for me to come up with something because I was thinking, like, you know, from comic books, that when people talk and tell them, then they get all confused. There's a lot of them. And I was really wanted to do Chew. I did Chew for an answer one time, long time ago. And I love that comic book. And it's really hard to explain, but it's not really that hard when you start talking. And if they'll listen to you for a little bit, then they'll get it. But for me, when it was really confusing, and I realized this because a lot of people I know that I like comics, and they start asking, and then I start telling them about it, that the most confusing thing that makes people's eyes glaze over and I just don't get it is all the reboots. So the answer really is DC Comics and Marvel, because they both relaunch all the time. And when you start talking to somebody and you're telling them that the whole thing relaunched because somebody went back in time or somebody died and they didn't die, and then there's another version, then you've got different world people in the same spot or different versions at the same people in the same place, but they can't cross paths because one's married, one's not, another has shorts on, the other one doesn't have shorts, and the other's got a pop collar. That's it. You do that. That's the confusing thing. So the answer is DC and Marvel Comics. All right, that's it. Bye.
One's got shorts on and one doesn't.
That's always confusing. I'll tell you what.
Oh.
When they start putting on shorts, oh, man. But he's right. The whole idea of a reboot, it really doesn't exist anywhere else in the world.
X-Files came back onto the television after 14 years.
Yeah, picked up right where it left off.
And they still referencing everything that happened before. Yeah. They didn't bother to start over.
Like, imagine if they rebooted the NFL season, where they were just like, 6 weeks in, it wasn't going well. Like, the Cleveland Browns were inexplicably really good. Nobody liked it. Johnny Manziel is turning into a hero. Can we just reboot this and start over? You know,
except like in this new rebooted NFL season, Joe Montana is back in the NFL. He's 30 years younger.
Yeah, he's DH.
And he plays for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, he's DH and he's playing for Dallas. I can't think of another place where reboots count or even happen outside of comics.
I mean, I guess they do movie remakes, but those are like straight up remakes.
Yeah, that's
right?
Just a remake.
The
we
Point
know.
Break remake is still the story of Point Break.
Right, like Total Recall, even though it like strayed away from everything that was cool about the initial Total Recall, was still like just a remake of Total Recall or whatever. I mean, yeah. I don't know why I'm citing that when.
Well, but I mean, but they are doing it now with comic book movies. You had the Michael Keaton Batman, then you had the Christian Bale Batman. Now you're going to have Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but I guess those are comics.
We're going to have three different versions of Spider-Man.
It's still
so
in
they're,
that world.
They're doing it with comic book movies, too.
But imagine if they like rebooted Goonies and this time it was like the Goonies are in a far flung apocalyptic future trying to fight.
I would watch that.
Hey, I would, too. It sounds pretty cool. All right. It's time for
thank you, first time, long time.
Always good to hear from you, buddy. Well, we got to pick our favorite call.
Oh man, you didn't take any notes.
I didn't, but I already know mine. I'm going with Brown. Because he laid down all the major parts of Grendel in this like rambling speech. And anyone who's actually read Grendel will be like, yeah, that's right. Man, yeah, that's right too. Yeah, that happened. You're like, yeah, I remember that as well.
So my favorite is Amy from North Dakota.
Okay.
Just because the whole idea of having to explain what happened to Captain America after Civil War, which is already complicated enough.
Oh my God.
and having that person be like, well, I'm sorry I asked. I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, because like the short answer is Captain America came back from the dead. And someone goes, what do you mean he came back from the dead? And then you have to explain how Dr. Doom brought Captain America back from the dead. Like, what a mess, you know?
Yeah, it's a challenge. But yeah, I just, the way Amy presented it, it really tickled me. So I'm giving her my favorite.
Let's get to yours, Joe Patrick.
All right, well, my answer is sort of an amalgamation of a few different people. Black Scorpion at really kind of got to the heart of mine. And he went even further than I was going to. My answer was going to be Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, boy.
Just explaining. So there's this infinite universe.
It's a hell of a burrito to unwrap, I'll say that.
there is an infinite number of universes, and they are colliding together and getting destroyed. And a band of heroes has to come together to stop the villain. And when it's all said and done, there's only one universe and one history. Also, yeah, it's got Superman in it. Yeah, it's got Superman in it. It's actually got two different Supermen in it. What do you mean it's got two Supermen in it? It's got at least three Flashes, 1,000 different Green Lanterns, and then the World War II German pilot Enemy Ace shows up to fight dinosaurs. And you're just like, what is happening? Yeah, Anthro the Cave Boy teams up with Green Lantern and whoever to go back to prehistoric times and fight shadow demons.
Sure, sure.
And so that was where I was headed, but Black Scorpion explained it in a much better way than I did, because it was only compounded three other times by anniversary events that were quote unquote celebrating Crisis on Infinite Earths by making it way more complicated. So really then I started thinking about my own experiences having to explain comics in general to people. Jeff Hitt touched on it. First time, long time touched on it. Just the idea of explaining why you've got these characters and they're all in comics, but they don't all mesh together. Like, right. I had this conversation less than a month ago with my coworker. He asked me point blank out of nowhere, does Batman know Spider-Man? I was like, well,
kind of.
They have met. And so then I had to explain.
Yeah, the simple answer is no. The long answer is, right. Well, yes.
So then I had to kind of nutshell 75 years of complex intercompany politics. And I just can't imagine anyone that doesn't have at least a passing interest in comics caring enough to bother. Like, why would you bother getting into that quagmire?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. It's the easiest way to turn someone off of comics altogether. Just be like,
you can have a conversation with somebody and it ends with them saying, you know what? I'd like to check some of those out.
Yeah.
Then you have worked a miracle, my really? Friend.
Because 9 times out of 10, it's just, please stop talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine is actually Constantine-centered. When the ill-fated Constantine show launched, someone that I work with, a good buddy of mine, Tyler, has heard me talk about Constantine before. Like, he, every once in a while, he'll listen to the show just to make fun of me or, like, pick up something that we said or troll our forums and say something ridiculous, you know? And he heard us talking about Constantine, how much I hated it. And he was like, okay, he's like, in all seriousness, he's like, this is a show about a British guy that's a magician, right? And he's like he performs like card tricks and whatever. I'm like, no, not like that at all. Like, he's into like magic with a K, like crazy magic, but there's
magic with a K,
but yeah. There's a price that comes with your magic. Like, if you're going to do this stuff, like, you have to think about everything that happens with it. Like, every time you conjure something or work a really difficult spell, somebody might notice it on the other side, like in the other magical world or something like that. And he's like, what do you even mean? It's like, okay, there's a story by Garth Ennis. He's this super rude, foul-mouthed British guy that I love that wrote one of my favorite Constantine stories. It was called Son of Man. And it was about a gangster whose son was killed, right? Hit by a car and killed. And he comes to John Constantine. He's like, bring my kid back from the dead. And John Constantine says to him, like, well, it's not that easy. Bringing people back from the dead is kind of dangerous. And he's like, if you don't bring them back from the dead, I'm going to kill your sister. I'm going to kill your sister's kid. I'm going to kill your cabbie friend. I'm going to kill people that owe you money. Like, I'll just kill everybody. So you better figure it out. All right, buddy. And so he gets together a couple of magic guys and they decide, all right, well, we got to do something. What if we summoned a relatively harmless demon that we could control into the body of his kid? Because he's not going to know any better, right? And they're like, yeah, all right, we can do that. I'm not crazy about it. But so they summon a demon, right? And they carve the rune into the kid's head. This is all me explaining it to my friend Tyler, who we call Cheech. And they carve a rune into his head that'll help it control the demon, right? And the kid is this really creepy little demon kid, but dad's okay with it. Let's go about our life. Turns out the demon is a rape demon. And as it grows in the kid, the rune heals over a little bit and they lose control of the demon. Demon inseminates dad anally with the basically the devil, who is going to come and set in motion the end of the world after his anal birth from his mobster dad. And I'm explaining this to Tyler and one of my other coworkers, and they're both looking at me and their mouths are dropping open further and further. And they go, and you like this? And I went, well, it's a really cool story. And Tyler looks at me and goes, so you're into anal sex? And no, I was like, no. Like, back up. Like, it's just a really cool and creative, like, way to tell a story about, like, magic and demons and
not that there's anything wrong with
and
that.
The stuff you have to think about. And they both looked at me and went, so you like anal sex? It's like, oh, God, stop it. And I'm like, no.
Hey,
and then from then on.
So what if you did, Matt?
They went
just
around.
Just tell them it's okay.
To everybody else that works at the French Bulldog with me. You're like, yeah, so Matt reads comics about anal sex. He'll tell you all about it. He loves it. Very hard to explain this stuff, especially when you have like the Constantine show that was relatively neutered and nice. And I'm trying to explain to them how awful the Constantine book is, like feel bad comics.
Yeah, Son and of Man is like especially awful.
It was, but there was
even for Constantine.
But Warren Ellis got into some even worse stuff than that, man. Like, oh,
I don't think so. Oh. I don't think anything Warren Ellis did in Constantine is as bad as Son of Man.
The Crone storyline, that was horrifying. Absolutely, yeah, okay. Horrifying and even more believable, which is why it was more scary. But it's just like trying to explain to someone why wrestling is cool who doesn't understand wrestling. They're like, you like professional wrestling, and you have to look at them seriously and say yes. And then you use words like it is an art form and they go, really? And all they remember is like Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior screaming. They don't realize there's a lot of performance that goes into it, and there's history here, and there's all this cool stuff about it. And if you submerge yourself in it, you can learn to enjoy it too. You know what I mean? That's the tricky part.
Whatever, weirdo. All right, let's wrap this up.
Joe Patrick, what is the latest question of the week? We're not going to say the newest because it's a little old.
Well, I mean, it is technically the newest, but yeah. The current question of the week is, in a nutshell, what past comic book event, one that is possibly not looked upon too favorably, do you think should be updated, like remade, in the vein of DC reviving Bloodlines for no good reason?
Because we demanded it.
What past event would you like to see get a remake? Bonus points if you name some creators, kind of flesh out the story a little bit. Hit us with some ideas.
Awesome. You can hear all about it next week right here on The Answer of the Week. But this weekend, we'll have another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast hitting you. For now.
I want to give a quick shout out to Edward Tanis. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. A loyal listener from way up in Calgary, Canada.
Woo!
Who hit us with an answer to a very old question. Way after the fact. So I'm sorry, Edward, we didn't use your answer. We did get it. Thanks for calling in. We hope you do it again.
Yeah, Eddie, a little more timely fashion, and we'll get you on the show, man.
Look, he's in Canada, man. He doesn't understand the progression of time.
We have Canadian friends. They know how time works up there.
But they have to set their clocks to America.
Is that how that worked?
Yeah.
Weird.
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not totally sold on that either. So. Thanks a lot for all your calls. This is your show. Without you guys, we don't have one. If you're thinking about calling and you haven't, please do. We want you in this club. Or go to the forums and answer there. Either way, we want to play with you guys. For now, this is a Two-Headed Nerd.
Not in a weird way.
Kind of weird, maybe. Signing off.
Try explaining to all the other AIs living on the internet that you, one of the most sophisticated artificial versions of Alec Baldwin's personality, work for two adult teens that love books with pictures. Not that I don't enjoy my work. I am very happy. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.